Clarendon died in 1674, still in exile, though his body was brought back and to England and buried in Westminster Abbey. His history itself lay unpublished for almost 30 years, not unread, because the Hyde family, which was still of great political significance, ensured that it was kept and occasionally lent it to some people who they thought would be politically sympathetic to Clarendon and his memory. The Hyde family became one of the most important Tory families in the country as politics in the 1670s and 1680s became very much polarised between these, what became known as the two great political parties, Tories and Whigs. And the Clarendon successors were not only great ministers, but also in some sense party leaders of the Tory party. It's only right at the end of the 17th century, though, that it starts to be contemplated that the history might be published. Clarendon himself had rather implied that he thought it couldn't be published until for a long time, and perhaps by around about 1699 it was thought that enough of the people named in it had died for it to be possible to write. But what really makes it possible to publish it is the accession to the throne of Queen Anne in 1702. Queen Anne is Clarendon's granddaughter. Clarendon's daughter, Anne Hyde, a feisty, clever woman who had what some of James, Duke of York's friends thought entrapped James, Duke of York, who was subsequently to be James II, into marrying her in 1660. Anne Hyde and James's daughters were Mary, who married William III, and Queen Anne, respectively. So on Queen Anne's accession in 1702, Clarendon was, I suppose, retrospectively part of the royal family. But also there's the party struggle at that stage had become exceptionally intense. The Tories were responding to a burst of publication by Whigs, putting forward their accounts of the Civil War. And the Tories certainly felt that they had to respond to that and produce their own version of how a small faction had embroiled the country in civil war in 1642. Clarendon's History of the Rebellion was a ready-made answer to that. And for those at Oxford, which was seen as the sort of headquarters of the Tory party, full of people who were great church figures, the relationship between the Tory party and the Church of England was a very close one. So Oxford was the centre of Toryism, the centre of a certain branch, as it were, of the Church of England. And of course it was the centre of the relatively newly refounded Oxford University Press. So the History of the Rebellion was produced in 1702-4 in Oxford by the University Press, with a major introduction which was a sort of political statement by Clarendon's son, the Earl of Rochester, dedicated to the Queen. The volumes, three volumes, appeared separately, and by the time it got to the later volumes they had become even more Tory and even more anti-Whig than they had been in the first place. And so Whigs responded in kind, though many people saw this as a great work which almost went beyond party, because it was so critical of the royalist side as well as the parliamentarian side. It exposed many of the mistakes that the royalists had made. It showed Charles I certainly as a flawed king, though Clarendon in many ways was greatly admiring of him. So some Whigs felt that it was a great work almost beyond criticism, but others felt that it was a deeply Tory production. They suspected that the Tories who printed it had meddled with the text and made it into a much more partisan work than it really was. One of them went to enormous lengths to try to discredit the facts within it. But nevertheless, I think its reception was a very warm one. It was seen, as indeed it was, as the greatest history written in English so far. a history worthy of comparison with the sort of Roman texts which had indeed inspired it and some of the European histories which had inspired it. And it maintained that reputation for a very long time afterwards. And indeed, I think right up until the 19th century, people saw it as the best account of the history of the English Civil War that existed, the best single account that existed. Thereafter, I think the more sort of professional historians of the 19th century could expose how, in many ways, Clarendon had got it wrong. It is, of course, a partisan and one-sided account because Clarendon was working from royalist sources. He was writing an explicitly royalist account of the war. Mm. So, undoubtedly, it's not completely accurate, but it does convey very well, I think, the complexity of one side of the Civil War, of their attitudes, of their political strategies and their political feelings, and the factionalism at the court of Charles I, a rich gallery, I suppose, of the royalist side, the many figures engaged in it, the mistakes they made, the successes which turned defeats, and the other way around as well.